While this foreplay is going on, she notices, quote, a growing mound beneath the leaves, end quote. Very Adam and Eve, if you ask me.
A cob, maybe.
Oh, it is. It is a cob. Hello.
Oh, hello. Welcome. It's nice to have you over.
It's nice that you could venture into our podcast. Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
That's Sarah, and she loves books.
That's Hope, and she loves talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And Hope noticed that I did not put the name of the book in today's document.
Yeah, it's super sus out here. I just know what my research was.
Yeah. I'm going to let you know that I had another plan for this week, and then I pivoted hard when I found this option. Before we jump into too much, I did just get home from a little vacay that I'd like to share.
Yes.
I went with a couple of our friends, some that you, the audience, have met, including Liz. And we had a couple of reader friends that we got a lake house up in Minnesota. And we read and ate food and laughed and had a great weekend. But we also went shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess how many books I purchased this weekend?
Oh, no. I'm scared to ask. I'm going to guess 8. Because I hope it's at or less than 10. Did you buy the most books of everyone?
No, Liz bought 11 books. So technically I was in the clear. No, I got a couple of special editions or signed stuff that I've been looking for. So Abby Jimenez, who is not a smutty author, she's a romance author, but she does closed door stuff. She has a bakery up in Minnesota, and she actually was like a successful baker before she was an author. And so we went to her bakery, and if you buy her books at her bakery, they are all signed.
That's
and so,
so cute.
Isn't that very fun? And it's like her bakery is like on a bunch of lists of like bakeries you have to go to before you die, like by BuzzFeed and the Food Network. And like, so it's a very successful bakery. And then in addition to has all these wonderful books. So I got some signed copies. I got some beautiful editions of Beach Read by Emily Henry. I got a cool signed copy of The Paradise Problem by Christina Lauren. And there was just a bunch of other stuff that like, we went to like four. We had initially, I think, 7 or 8 bookstores we were going to go to. We only went to 4 because it was quite the trek.
That alone is already a lot of bookshops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's so fun because, okay, Minneapolis, I'm just a big fan. I'm a big fan of Minneapolis. I've got family in Minneapolis. It's a gorgeous city and very fun and artsy. But they have these really niche bookstores. So one of them is called Once Upon a Crime. And I know we're not a crime podcast, but it's all mystery thrillers. And it's like in a basement. It's like very like, ooh.
I have to look up. There is a similarly named bookshop right next to where I work, and I have to find the name of it so I can remember it and share
please,
it with you. I will.
Please.
Continue.
We went to Mages and, oh gosh, now I'm going to forget the name. Hold on. Let me pull it up because I am a terrible co-host and didn't just have this on hand. We went to Majors and Quinn Booksellers, and that's a used and new bookstore. You're going to tell me the name of your bookstore. What is it?
It is Mystery to Me.
Mystery to Me in Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes. Shout out. I love that name of the bookstore, and it's right next to the bakery. Continue.
Yes. So we went to Majors and Quinn, which is massive. Massive, and it's used and new books. It was very, very cool. We spent way too much time in that place. And then we also went to Comma, a bookshop. They had some fun merchy things. So I got some stickers. I'll post them on our socials, which is very exciting. But the best place, I will say the best place we went was Tropes and Trifles. If you are in Minneapolis for any given reason, you must go to Tropes and Trifles. I am requiring it of every person I talk to. They are a romance-only bookstore, and they have an amazing selection. And I think one of my frustrations with bookshops anymore is that they have all the same popular books. And when you're very, very in the book community, as I am, and as the girls we were with are, you see the same things over and over again. Right. Yeah. So you can't
same book, like, different shop.
I feel like I get all my recommendations for books either from friends or from online, like BookTok or Bookstagram. And so it was so fun to go in. First of all, the people who helped us were absolutely incredible. As soon as we walked in, they were like, please let us know if you want to talk about books, because we want to talk about books. And I was like, give me your smuttiest historical romance books. And sure enough, they gave me new recommendations I'd never heard of. They had a wonderful little YA section, so like a non-smutty area. Mm-hmm. They had a contemporary, a fantasy, a historical, an erotica section, a dark romance section.
Gosh.
It was amazing. So,
that's so cute. I hope they're listening. Hi, they're listening.
Literally, I'm obsessed with you. We were all obsessed. We could not get out of there because we just like, and we even kept on saying, should we go back? Should we go back tomorrow and just like keep looking? Because it was one of those things you kept looking and you'd find something new. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of niche authors. The best conversation I heard was one of the gals I was with walked up to them and asked them for a specific author. And they said, we do not actually carry that author, but if we were to purchase some of that author's stuff, like where should we start? What book should we start with? And I was like, yes. Like, and it was just a great customer service. Anyway, I'm just obsessed.
Love it.
But I finished one book and I started a new book. I have like a hair on me and you know when it tickles you?
Yeah, the
and
worst.
You're like, please stop. Get out of here. Like, I didn't ask for you.
Just let me live my life. I can't go on this way.
I stopped or I finished one book and I started another book and I'm reading Out on a Limb, which is about a woman who has a disability that has a different type of formality in her hand.
Okay.
And it is based off of the author's firsthand experience. And there's an accidental pregnancy trope. And she said that the author's note at the beginning of the book is absolutely like made me want to cry because she talks about how people, you know, wouldn't trust them with her baby or their baby, you know, like to hold the baby. And she always kind of wondered how would she navigate being a mother. Mm-hmm. And then when she gave birth or when she got pregnant, she had to face a lot of these realities. And so this book was her processing that.
Oh,
so it is
cool.
A fictional book. It is an open door romance, very smutty. Maybe we'll do it for the podcast at some point. But she hooks up with a guy who is an amputee, survivor of cancer. Mm-hmm. And so like they both have their own experiences they are going through. And now they're both going to be parents. And so...
Fun.
You know, I don't know if it's perfect yet. I'm only like 25% of the way in, but like it's giving me a lot of feels. I'm very in my emotions. So what are you consuming lately?
Well, I have just purchased several practical books to help me do things around my home. As we mentioned last week, I have purchased a sewing machine and my whole personality is going to be sewing. So I bought a book that is just a very comprehensive sewing guide because I want as much information about the process as I can get my hands on. And also I learn in a lot of different ways, but I am also pretty visual. So it helps me to have like diagrams and stuff. And I also got a similar, but different book about gardening. So,
going into winter. So
going into winter,
prep all
there's
winter.
Plants abound at this home and I had to figure out how to take care of them.
Yeah.
That's not all though, because I have been watching Agatha All Along. I finally got through all of WandaVision. I am caught up with Agatha All Along. I'm getting all in my spooky time and it's great.
We have had too warm of weather around here for us to really enjoy fall. And I'm starting to get genuinely pissed off about it. So I'm doing everything I can to keep my house as cold as possible and like have the fall vibes indoors if I can't have it outdoors.
Just try and like will it into fall.
Yeah, please. Oh, I do want to give an announcement before we jump into our book.
Yes.
We have a giveaway going on our socials right now until Friday. This Friday, I don't know what date that is. What? It's got to be like October 20 or not 20.
Whoa. Just delete that.
I just
whole
like
month.
2 weeks. October 12th.
12th is a Saturday.
Okay. 11th.
There you go.
I was trying to do the mental math and it was not mathing.
That's okay.
But please go like the post, follow us at Say Smut Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And comment a friend's name who might also like the post. We've got a tote, we've got a book, we've got stickers, we've got so many things. to give away.
They're all super cute and you want them.
Well, you really want them.
Trust me.
Okay, so shall we dive into our book?
Yes, I can't wait to find out what the F this is.
We are reading Corn Daddy by Helena Woodcock.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that's her real name.
I don't care either way. I really like it.
Yeah. I want to actually read her author note at the beginning with trigger warnings.
Yes, please.
So this is going to be a little longer. So hang on while I give this. Just so we're all on the same page here, this is a work of fiction and contains graphic, detailed sexual scenes. The content within this story is not meant to be read as a how-to instruction manual on practicing BDSM with a consenting partner or partners. Mm-hmm. This is a dark romance, and the actions of my unreliable characters should not be viewed as healthy or safe. Although I wrote this story to be jovial, a jovial romp, Corn Daddy contains scenes which involve the following potential triggers: being bound and restrained during a sexual encounter, being held captive, being in a smallish space underground, binding and restraints in a kidnapping situation, consumption of alcohol, dominant and submissive roles, including a DD and LG, so daddy and like little girl dynamic, edging and orgasm denial, excessive sexual fluids, foot licking, hair pulling, kidnapping and drugging, a large knife used in foreplay, masturbation with inanimate produce vegetables, outdoor sexual encounters, penetration by a humanoid being, penetration with fingers, performing oral sex on a humanoid being, questionable consent, receiving oral sex from a humanoid being, sexual entanglement with an abductor, spanking, trespassing, very light choking, and a protagonist who curses like a sailor. Hold on.
Sorry.
You should know yourself far better. You know yourself far better than I do. So if at any point my story stops feeling fun and starts feeling ick, please check out. Take care of your body and your mind, dear reader. As for those of you who just read that content warning like a shopping list, repeat after me. The Corn Man can be a hot guy, but the Corn Man is not a good guy. We don't want to date the Corn Man, okay? Okay. Isn't that a wonderful author note?
That is the best written. I mean, I could only dream to have trigger warnings written like that for this podcast. That's incredible.
No, I think it does a really great job of being like, this is not obviously a how-to guide. This is just supposed to be like a piece of essentially fanfic. Like, do not, like, he can be hot in fiction, but in reality, he would not be hot.
You do not want to date this man.
And it's okay to check out if this story, I love that she puts that in there. Like, if this story starts feeling icky, okay, stop reading. That's okay.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself.
I'm in a book club and I have a lot of people who are really worried about like trigger warnings and like investing in a book. And I said, you guys can stop reading at any time. Like, mm-hmm. I can't choose the trigger warnings for you. Like, I can't choose how far something goes because everything is a scale, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't know what you guys can handle and can't handle. And it's okay for me to try and give as much as I can. And you still say, I gave it a try and I had to stop. That's okay.
That's okay.
We're okay with that. So I want to give a little bit about our wonderful author, Miss Woodcock, I guess, Mrs. Woodcock. First of all, this story has a 2.84 on StoryGraph.
I already know that's too low.
I know. You're gonna firmly believe it's way too low. Goodreads at the 3.10. Okay.
Better, but still.
About the author, this is from Amazon. Helena Woodcock had a brief career as an adult fetish performer. And now she is putting her English literature degree to good use. She appreciates the fine line that exists between being turned on and being scared. And she prefers her spice to have a generous dash of camp. Helena dwells in the shadows. Follow her dispatches from darkness if you like haunted houses and miss renting B-movies at the video store.
Oh. I do. Helena, I love
you. I think I'm in love with Helena a little bit.
Me too.
I'm like, really? You know what? And I really, you know what, I am very specific about not wanting memoirs from people. Like, I don't think people have interesting enough lives for me to sit and listen to like a very long audiobook or something about their lives, unless they're like Barbra Streisand with her 48-hour audiobook. Do you know about that?
That's so long.
Isn't it crazy?
That's crazy.
But I would absolutely read about her brief career as an adult fetish performer. 100%.
I love a multifaceted person. Mm-hmm. Able to use all of their talents all together.
Okay. Well, Helena, we are so excited to dive in. Are you ready?
I have never been more ready for Corn Daddy.
Corn Daddy. All right. Hope, have you ever been stood up on a date before?
No, but to be fair, I have rarely gone on like dates. I don't think I've ever gone on a date where I've predetermined met someone at a restaurant. I think every date I've ever been on, I've been picked up, or some sort of picking up has happened, or we've just got over to a person's house.
You're so just that hot. You're just like,
no, it's more like I haven't been on that many dates, but I appreciate your enthusiasm.
I would never stand you up, and I would also pick you up in public. 100%.
I would also never stand you up.
Obviously. Well, I have been stood up before twice in a row by two different people. It was like I had this weird bout of like dating the worst people for about a year. Ugh. And like I was going out with anybody and everybody, trying to give people who were not my quote unquote not my type, whatever that means, a chance. Mm-hmm. And I just picked all the shitty people. And I was like, that's not what I think this saying meant.
Turns out they're not your type. These people are not your type for a reason.
It's yeah, they're shitty people.
They stink. Okay. Butts.
This is what's happening to our main character, Liz. She has a habit of going out with kind of douchey guys. And she's been going out with Chaz for a little while. Yes, his name is Chaz. I saw your eyebrows just immediately shoot up.
Sorry, I know that there's no sound effect for that. But if there was, it would have happened. My eyebrows immediately went sky high.
They were undefined, but he's gotten her off a couple of times, which is kind of difficult for her. So she's like,
Thank you, Chaz.
We'll keep on going out with him. She is supposed to meet him at the corn maze. And all these couples are around taking pictures, having apple cider, like, you know, doing the most. And she's like, okay, he's like 40 some minutes late. Like, I'm so exhausted from waiting. I'm just going to go and do this by myself. And I'm going to have a good time. Right?
Sure.
Can you at this time tell me a little bit about how corn mazes are done? Because I find this really fascinating. We are in the Midwest. We grew up in the Midwest, both you and I.
True.
And we always went to corn mazes growing up. I did, at least.
Yes.
And so, like, I find them fascinating how they design them and stuff. Can you please let us know what your research is?
I would love to. Welcome to Shucks. This is so corny, but I hope you are amazed by my corn maze research.
That's actually very good. I like the second whammy of the amazed.
Yeah, and Shucks and corny. Yeah. I don't think this is perceivable, but next to me, my husband just sighed deeply. just never been more tired.
Shush it, Austin.
So funny. So you know what's not very entertaining or spooky or fun? That's regular corn. But you know what is entertaining and spooky and fun? When you take a regular field of corn and then you create a complex labyrinth to get lost in. Welcome to corn mazes.
Yeah.
Was a corn maze? I think corn mazes are everywhere. So on the one hand, I'm like, surely people know what a corn maze is. But then I'm like, I don't know. What if people don't know what a corn maze is first?
Because I know some people from Southern California who told me that they will set up quote unquote corn mazes as like in, like parking lots. They'll put up essentially like a faux corn maze in a parking lot to do, and that was really disturbing to hear.
Interesting.
I don't think that's the norm, but that's what I have heard secondhand. And somebody from Southern California is like, shut the fuck up, Sarah, you know nothing about us.
If you have a parking lot corn maze, can you send us pictures? Because I'd like to see what this is about.
I'd like a photo evidence of this. And also, I was going to say something else and I totally forgot it. So why don't you just keep going?
Yes, I will. So yeah, a corn maze is what it sounds like. You create intricate paths through a field of corn with an entry point and an exit point, sometimes multiple. If it's really big, sometimes you have to have emergency exits so people can leave. And you just wander through it. And sometimes it's a normal maze. And sometimes the maze from an aerial view looks like Dolly Parton. And sometimes it's daytime and you just kind of do it for fun and like a fun fall sunshiny day. And sometimes it's spooky and scary and you can go at night. I was going to ask you at this point in the research if you've participated in a corn maze, but clearly you have.
No, it was always an excursion we did for church youth group too. Like every fall, there would be one field trip to a corn maze for, you know, some outing for the students to go to. So yeah, yes, spooky plenty of time.
Or non-spooky.
Typically non-spooky because, again, it was the church.
What is your preference?
Non-spooky. Like, I'm happy to do spooky-ish things when it's very fictional and, like, on a TV. Like, I have to pee when I go play hide and seek because I get so nervous. Like, I do not, like, I'll get in a hiding space and I'll be like,
oh no!
I need to go! Like, you know, you just like get nervous and you're like, finally, I know that's the whole point of the game, but like, what if they found me? So I don't need people popping out of the corn, you know?
Sure.
It what about happen. You? Hold on. I need to know what you
think. Yes, all kinds. And most two quick but notable stories. One, I once was taken to, this is sort of, it was sort of a haunted corn maze, but it was mostly sort of a haunted house that I got taken to with my Girl Scout troop elementary school. And no. I was one of two children of the whole group of children who did not leave sobbing.
Oh, wow. First of all, you should have gotten like a patch for that.
I should have gotten she's not scared patch.
She's not scared.
She isn't scared.
She's so brave.
I don't think about this very much, but I volunteered one fall. I participated in an organization called Dance Marathon when I was in college, and we volunteered our time at some haunted corn maze. So I spent like a whole night in a haunted corn maze. I think we had costumes.
A
I think
whole
we had like a
night,
not like a not like overnight, oh, but like okay. an evening. Okay, the duration of an evening.
I was like, you're sleeping in the corn maze? Wild.
No, but I was sitting in the corn maze and then waiting for people and then yelling and making scary noises at them from the corn.
Like, I know they're not supposed to touch you and stuff, but I'd be like, there's going to be that one psychopath who just like thinks this is the moment. I'm going to touch somebody and like grab them or like whatever.
I just don't trust people.
What's your research?
So there's like a very brief history that I thought I would give about corn mazes, and it's super brief because they haven't actually existed for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah. There is a little bit of like debate about when and where these started. Obviously, we've had mazes and garden mazes for a long time.
Oh, surprising. That was going to be my other point. When I taught a class in the spring, I brought up an analogy that had a hedge maze.
Yeah.
And no one knew what a hedge maze was. These were all like 18, 19, 20 year olds. And I was like, have you guys seen Harry Potter? You know, like the fourth movie when they go into like the big hedge maze and like, they're like, oh, that's what that is. And I was like, you guys clearly.
A maze made of hedges? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, literally, yes.
That was my other analogy.
Maze? No, but yeah, you're absolutely correct. So I was going to say, imagine hedge mazes or like gardens at Bridgerton would maybe have a little maze in there for fun, or like the Queen of Hearts castle in Alice in Wonderland has like a maze of hedges. So like that exists. Meg Weaver with National Geographic in one of the articles I read said, quote, rural theme parks that they are, corn mazes have been around for centuries. This is not true. I think she means mazes. Serving ceremonial purposes or amusing royalty in the days of kings and princesses. So most people agree that actually corn mazes started in like the 90s, which sort of blows that quote out of the water immediately. Even there, no one completely agrees about who started it, but mazes, I think the author meant like hedge mazes. I keep wanting to say hedge mage, which is a D&D thing.
Yeah. No, you're so close though.
So close.
You're so close.
So close. Maze. So corn mazes though, we know they started in either 1993 or possibly 1989 or maybe the mid-90s. Those are like the three different time zones.
That is kind of wild how recent that is. I would have said like the 70s or something if it was quote unquote recent.
No, apparently it was in the 90s or possibly in 1989. And also there's not a lot of agreement on who and where it happened first. So like USA Today had an article that said that Earl Beale created the first full-size corn maze in Annville, Pennsylvania, and that was in 93. But National Geographic says it started in the mid-90s with a British maze developer, Adrian Fisher, who claims to have created the first corn maze in Pennsylvania. So a little overlap in Pennsylvania, but not always, because according to Wikipedia, a corn maze was made at a ranch in Lancaster, California in 1989. So who could even say?
You know, and here's the crazy thing. It's not like we're talking about the 1500s where it's very hard to document the time and place. No. I just think, like, you know, it's 1990s. We can narrow that down, you guys.
No,
we can narrow it down.
Everybody was like, surely I'm not the first person to think of this idea. And then they all were at the same time. So that's like vaguely. No one could agree. It was, I'm going to say, probably in Pennsylvania because that was a commonality, and probably in the 90s because we mostly landed in that time zone. Mm-hmm. Not a whole other lot of information about that. But we're not here to learn about how they came to be in terms of like their history and their origin story. We want to know how they're made.
Yeah.
Which is a great question. So according to Lancaster Online, this is Pennsylvania, not to be confused with the California that I previously mentioned, for the record.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Corn mazes were initially pulled by hand, which is terrible. So that, like,
actually sounds like hell on earth.
Granted, I'm guessing you have to think, I mean, this might have been the case regardless of field size, but like if you're working with a smaller field and you're just making a maze, not a design,
yeah,
but just a maze, you could probably get away with reasonably doing that, pulling corn by hand. But yeah, if you're trying to do a big field, that is absolutely unreasonable. and not how it's done. So in the year of our Lord 2024, we're using GPS and computer designs and sometimes even design firms to make corn mazes, I learned.
Okay.
So one of these design firms is called The Maze. And author J. Brian Lauder with Slate interviewed the CTO of that company to kind of explain how their designing of a corn maze process works. And I should have written down the number, but this company does like tons of corn mazes across the country, like has clientele across the country.
Okay.
All different kinds of stuff. So in the article, The Amazing Life of a Corn Maze Designer, my research was so full of puns.
Sure.
Bench explained that the maze will first kind of determine the size of the field they're working with to get ideas, because obviously you're limited in the kind of like features you could put in the maze and the exits, mm-hmm, depending on the size of the field. So got to do that first. Then you take that field size, you know, collaborate on if there's like a theme you want for the maze, and then break, like you can use computer programming for this. You could do this on graph paper, which would be worse. But essentially you want to draw or like put out to scale the size of the field and mm-hmm. then start putting the maze design over that field and then break it up into like quadrants or sections, like little squares of the design.
Yeah.
So that when you go to do it large scale, you know, well, in this so many feet by so many feet square of the maze, we need to make a curved line here and a straight path here. And then yeah, the next section, like you have to do it piece by piece to kind of plan it all out.
Yeah.
So cutting the maze can happen at different times in the process, and that impacts how it's done. The maze said that they can cut into really tall grass, but it's not ideal. They have to use GPS to be able to do that because it's just like a lot to visualize and try and plan out. What they typically do is cut the maze when the corn is shorter. So they will come around after the corn in a field has grown like 12 inches or so and then start cutting the field that way because A, it's just easier. You're not working with like super.
Yeah.
I guess if you haven't ever been around corn before, I'll let you know that corn is very tall.
Yeah, extremely.
Is incredibly tall. And so it's easier to cut when it's only grown up a few inches, and it's very hard to cut when it's taller than you are. So it's easier to do it when the grass is shorter, and that's pretty much it. It will then grow into its shape from there and kind of be maintained. Lancaster Online detailed a really nice timeline used at a corn maze that is called Cherry Crest Adventure Farm, and that is also in Pennsylvania. They love corn mazes there too.
Yeah,
who knew?
I'm sure,
but they love them in Pennsylvania. So basically, it's like step one, design the maze. And for this place in particular, they start designing the next year's maze right after the current maze closes, which I'm not sure. Very surprised by. Seems like a long process. So they will plant some temporary crops to keep the maze in good condition as the season is changing, and then they will already preemptively start planning out what their design is going to be. The corn is planted around Memorial Day, and then they are already kind of splitting up that field into a grid and looking at the components of the design and where they'll go in the field, and sometimes like marking that within the field as it's being planted. So it's just kind of there and visible. And then design laid out across that grid so they know what needs to be cut and marked. And then once the corn is grown, they hoe away the hilarious.
Sorry, so, I made a face money. As soon as she said hoe away, I was like,
we're all getting hoed away on this podcast.
It's like flushed away, except for hoed away.
They'll clear that path using a hoe. Another article mentioned using a weed whacker. I suppose you could still do it by hand. That would suck, but that's pretty much it. That's how they're made. Is
that it makes a lot more sense to do it earlier on. I don't know why I was thinking like they waited until all of it was grown and then they're like cut.
And you can, but it sucks very bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not ideal.
And also it would be a waste unless you're like trying to find a way to harvest it in that shape. Like while you're like I think of it like almost like a mower where you're just
corn
like
corn is used. I didn't do deep research into how they use the corn that they've like put for the maze or like left intact and not left intact, and it gets used. But don't worry about that, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm gonna add my own little research into here as we talk about some of these things in this book, because I realized this weekend that it's not widely known that most of the corn that is planted is not actually for human consumption.
Oh, that's so true. People really don't know that.
So like only, I don't know the actual percentage, but I think it's only like 3% of the corn planted is like sweet corn for you to eat or goes into like a frozen bag or whatever it is. But a majority, like over 90%, is actually for like ethanol. It's for livestock feed. It is not actually for your consumption. So
I wish I could remember the details of this, but somewhere on the internet is, I think, video of a person at, I want to say, a sporting event.
Yeah.
Just absolutely biting into the complete wrong kind of corn. Like, not corn for human consumption, and having the worst time.
It is so hard.
So hard.
It is, if you've ever walked through a cornfield, and we'll get into this in a second, but and you've broken off a piece, like a husk of corn, and you're like fucking around with the little corn, it is so tremendously hard. There's no way you'd bite into that.
No, it would be like if you had a bag of popcorn you have yet to pop, and you just ate it, but worse, because the kernels are bigger and thicker, and I'm going to guess, honestly, probably even harder than that.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely terrible.
Heinous.
So when we talk about some of the food elements of this, please keep that in mind, that most of these farms do not actually make sweet corn. They make like livestock feed. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your research.
You're welcome.
This book, I should disclose, is like 60 pages. So I just really want you to picture, I don't know what kind of corn maze. A lot of the corn mazes will do fun designs, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like if it's the anniversary of Sesame Street, I remember that was recent. Like they would make it in the shape of some of the characters. Or if it's an election year, somebody might put a certain person.
I saw a really cute Reba one in my research. Also, before we depart from my research, I'm silly. Thank you so much to all of my sources, which include How to Make a Corn Maze by Lynn Coulter at HGTV. I Design Corn Mazes for a Living, Here's One Thing That Really Keeps Me Up at Night by J. Brian Lauder at Slate Magazine. I gotta be honest, I don't think I ever found out what it is that really keeps that person up at night. And so I'm sorry for not doing research well enough.
Yeah.
Amazing Corn Mazes by Meg Weaver at National Geographic. How Were Corn Mazes Made? Lancaster's Maze Masters Share How It's Done by Aram Negley at Lancaster Online. And finally, Aw Shucks, An Inside Look at the Great American Corn Maze Obsession by Phaedra Trenton at USA Today. And those are my sources.
Amazing sources. I want to know what keeps them up at night.
No, I'll have to report back.
Is it Corn Daddy? Because maybe he knows about Corn Daddy.
I have a feeling Corn Daddy is about to keep me up at night.
Oh, and not in a fun way. Okay, so let's dive back in. Liz, like I said, completely stood up on her date with Chaz. So she says, I'm going to go do it myself. So I want you to have like this really, I know you know this feeling at a corn maze, right? It's crisp air. The sun is setting. So there's kind of like this glow. There's like maybe one entrance that's like the hard way to get into the maze. And then there's an easier entrance because sometimes they'll do that too, where it's like, do you want to take the hard path versus the easier path? Sometimes people are like, I take a map in and I go based on the map because they'll give out maps of what the maze is. Some people are like, no, I don't want a map.
I prefer to be lost for hours in corn.
Yeah. And so she's got like a candy apple. It sucks. So she throws it into the corn. I don't know why that was a whole plot point, but she's going into this corn maze. She's solo. She's walking through. And you know how there's going to be a sign early on to tell you what to do and not to do in the corn maze. What is probably the number one thing not to do in the corn maze?
Oh, there's so many things that you shouldn't do in a corn maze. Practically, I'm gonna say they have to tell you not to like drink or smoke, especially have stuff that's flammable because corn can get real dried out. I'm gonna say, I don't know, don't eat the corn because you shouldn't, because it's, as we've said, probably not sweet corn. Would be another really good rule to lay down. Call for help if you're lost.
Well, you kind of got at the main point, but it's like, don't touch the corn. Like, don't mess with the corn. Don't pull the corn out. Like, don't be fucking with the corn. Okay.
Yeah, Liz, don't be fucking with the corn. Don't
fuck with the corn. Anyway, so she is running through this. I shouldn't say running. At this point, she's just walking. And I guess this corn maze, I've never gone to one like this, but she said that once you get, if you get to the center, they have like goodies and treats there as like a prize for making it to the center. And then finding your way out, you get a different prize. And so she's trying to find her way to the center and she can kind of hear where people are coming and going, but then all of a sudden, and you know, they'll have sometimes the little signs that'll give you hints of where to go. Like if you start getting lost, so that she has these scarecrows she keeps running into who are like pointing in the right direction. She's trying not to look because she's like, I'm a purist. I go based on intuition. Okay. I got this. She is going and she realized she's getting farther and farther away from other people. You can kind of hear people through the corn maze, you know? And so she's like, I'm realizing I'm getting farther and farther away from the lights. I'm getting farther away from people. And she's like, this is getting really weird.
Almost like I'm not going in the right direction.
Yeah. So she kind of gets tired. And by the way, I'm somebody who gets really anxious when I can't leave a circumstance. Now, I don't know why I felt like I couldn't leave a corn maze when you can walk through the corn, if worst case scenario. But I would always keep track of which way the lights to like the main building.
Yeah, was. I mean, that's just common sense.
Yeah, and I try and keep track of which way with east and west and stuff. Anyway, but she's going through and she can't figure out where she ended up. And so she's like kind of climbing on one of the scarecrows and the corn like husks to try and like get up and look over the corn. I don't know
that corn husks are strong enough to support. I knew you were going to say that way.
I knew you're going to say that it was too flimsy, and that is absolutely correct.
Thank you.
But
we're from Iowa, so we know.
She broke the corn though that she was like leaning against.
You don't say.
Yeah. And it's getting creepier and creepier. And sure enough, sudden fog kind of settles over the corn maze. And she's like, this is uncharacteristic for this area that we live in. Why is there a fog?
Did we specify whether it was daytime or nighttime?
It was creeping into nighttime. Okay. So like now it is like nighttime.
Good to know.
So she is now disoriented and she's kind of feeling a little woozy and a little out of it. And all of a sudden she passes out.
Oh no.
When she comes to, she is in a dark, damp, enclosed area. Oh. And she is tied up to what I can only describe as essentially a cross made of corn stalks.
Mm.
Her feet and hands are tied.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She has no idea where she's at. And some loudspeaker kind of clicks on and is like, some voice comes over, a man's voice, and saying like, kind of teasing her. And he's kind of toying with her, but he keeps on telling her, like, you broke the rules. You damaged the corn. Like, you shouldn't have damaged the corn.
To be fair, there was one rule, and she did pretty much break it.
Yeah.
Doing the dumbest thing I could think of to corn, which is trying to have it support your whole human body weight. So.
Yeah, and I mean, once you see the cover, you'll see that she's a very, very thin girl. So, I mean, I don't want to make some bodily assumptions,
It's nothing to do with her body at all, to do with the corn. The corn just can't.
The corn can't handle
it. The corn is not here to support you that way.
So he leaves her hanging there all night, and she's like barely sleeping. And then she comes to, and he finally comes out. Mm-hmm. And would you like a description of our man?
I hope it's Corn Daddy. Let me know.
It is, in fact, Corn Daddy who has come out.
Yay.
And this is a longer description, so hang in here with me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, quote, his feet and calves looked like they were protected by tall work boots. But on second inspection, Liz realized he was covered in a layer of leaves. The leaves seemed to sprout from his actual body, wrapping and hugging his muscles with gentle curves of green.
Corn husks?
His calves.
I think that's just corn husks.
Hey, this isn't your dramatic retelling.
Sorry, okay? I wasn't sure if she was just confused by corn anatomy or...
Look, you're in a damp, dark, underground area and you've been kidnapped and drugged.
I'm here.
Okay?
I'm here in this damp, dark space.
His calves, thick like tree trunks, were exposed, but the leaves began again just around his pelvic region. The foliage curved upward, reaching to brush the edges of his predominant hip bones. His abdomen and chest were mighty and muscular, like that of a man, except he was larger and more defined than any man Liz had ever seen. His arms were fit to pull deep roots straight from the ground. Maybe he's making the,
maybe he's doing the maze by hand.
The maze by hand.
He's like, weed whacker, couldn't be me.
The leaves began again on his forearms, thick and curly, hanging down over his hands. His face was mostly obscured by these same sturdy leaves. They reached high in sheaths that clung to his features, occasionally parting to expose a flash of a glance or a curl of a dark smile, end quote.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping that I could draw a sketch of this
in
the amount of time you took to describe me, but I'm really bad at drawing, so I have
no. I just imagine it as one giant corn man with arms and legs.
Yeah, I'm assuming every time we mention leaves, it's corn stalks.
It's just like a husk.
Just husks everywhere.
Yeah, and like the fact that we can't quite see his face. Okay,
I'm essentially imagining a scarecrow, but instead of straw, husk everywhere.
You know, I'm thinking personally of, you know, the banana from Banana Time, like the, I don't know, like it's like this dancing cartoon. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just a banana with arms and legs. And I just imagine just corn with arms and legs.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the first thing he says to her after she lays eyes on him is, quote, I felt you the moment you stepped inside me.
Oh. Interesting. I didn't know I had done that.
Now, he confesses that the fog he used over the cornfield was to drug her, and that he's not super proud of it, but it was necessary. Quote, you were behaving erratically, trying to escape. You were damaging the corn, end quote.
You silly asshole. Don't destroy the corn. I mean, you have to get drugged otherwise.
I think what's hard for me as the reader is I'm not quite sure if I understand if he himself has his own autonomy, or if he also has some sensual essence of the corn maze. So like he is the corn maze and he has his own body. Like, it is very odd to me. So let's just keep going. Then she realized that they are below the corn maze in some little hovel den area.
Sure.
And she's like, what should I call you? And he immediately is like, you can call me Daddy.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's the name of the
Corn
book.
Daddy.
It's
so Corn Daddy. That really was given away. And I'm only
Corn Jeff.
I'm only going to add this next part because I feel like you would appreciate it. But he does use the word behoove.
Ooh.
And the context is, quote, it doesn't behoove you to play coy.
Sure.
Do you feel like that's a proper use of the word behoove?
I mean, it seems like it to me, But I wouldn't say I'm an expert on words.
I'm not the behoove police, but I mean, who's to say otherwise?
I know that it behooves you to do stuff.
Yeah. I also don't want to guess how old Corn Daddy is. I don't know his age. I don't know, like, if he would have used this in more of a context that was time appropriate. Like, if he's hundreds of years old and he's like, yeah, I use behoove all the time.
Yeah, we all use behoove all the time.
So he's, like I said, in tune with the corn maze. Like, he can feel what the stalks of corn are doing and stuff.
Yeah, he's really in tune and in touch with the corn.
And that's why he feels when there's a shift in humidity, which allows him to know when she's wet.
Ah, I wouldn't have thought of the science that way.
Yeah, no, I will say our author, Helena, gave a lot of thought into the logistics of this.
Like, I know what the corn sweats are, so it yeah. makes sense to apply them.
So he pours her a glass of wine, and that gives her a moment to wonder, like, well, she doesn't accept the wine, actually, but he pours a glass of wine, and she's like, what if there's a vineyard nearby that would have, like, a grape man? I will say the thought process of our heroine is pretty much what I would have.
Yeah, because it sounds like my thought process. And the next question is there a follow-up book called Grape Daddy?
Or is there a pumpkin patch, right?
Pumpkin Daddy.
Pumpkin Daddy.
Which, I mean, the answer to that pumpkin is yes.
Mommy.
Based on almost every book we did last October.
Pumpkin Parent.
Plenty of pumpkin Themies. I don't know the non-binary term for hot pumpkins.
Hot pumpkin. Okay. So do you think they roast the pumpkin seeds?
Hard to say.
We did do Jack a year ago.
Yeah, so. We did. Anyway, yeah, there was a lot of pumpkin daddies last year.
If you want pumpkin spice, well, we also did pumpkin spice latte. Guys want anything pumpkin related, go look at some of our episodes from last year because we did quite a few fun ones.
This is my okay. corn daddy.
No, that's an excellent corn daddy. We will put on the Instagram.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. No, that's
I'm not even going to describe it to you, audience. You're going to have to go to Instagram.
We literally described it. So I don't know what more they could ask for.
Yeah, it's basically what the book said.
So anyway, let's jump back in. So turns out it is quote unquote his season, which reminds me of when people would get like the color matching done. And it's like, what season are you?
I'm a winter. I don't know what season I am.
A whole winter, a warm summer. But he means it as it is the season he is strongest. And he needs to choose a bride or queen to produce a hardy crop for the next season. And he has chosen Liz. And she's like, are you sure? You sure me? And he goes, quote, the pheromones are never wrong, Elizabeth.
One, I too would be self-doubting if a corn daddy came up to me and was like, you are going to be the queen. I'd be like, I don't know that I'm good enough to be. Not, I can't believe you've kidnapped me. Not, it's crazy that I'm in this weird, dark, damp place with you and that I'm talking to a corn daddy man. Just, I'm not sure you picked the right person.
You know, I've never won anything before.
I'm not sure I'm qualified. Big imposter syndrome about whether or not you can be the corn queen.
You know, it just feels like this is too good to be true, you know?
Yeah, it does.
So at first she's like, I really have no interest in being queen, but I definitely will fuck you. And he like easily lets it go in the moment. Okay. He's like, okay, sure. So he uses a harvesting blade, which if you don't know what that is, I believe it's the one that's the curved one. Like it's a
sickle?
Sickle almost. Yeah. He uses the blade to cut off her clothes in like a foreplay move. While this foreplay is going on, she notices, quote, a growing mound beneath the leaves, end quote. Very Adam and Eve, if you ask me.
A cob, maybe.
Oh, it is. It is a cob. So he cuts her leg bindings and puts her legs over his shoulder and goes down on her.
Oh, I see.
She will reflect on this moment later that he used her like a gas mask. That
it was humid down there.
And you know what? I think that's the best compliment I could ever have is if somebody used me like a gas mask.
Used me like a gas mask. That's incredible.
So during this process, he edges her. And while casually telling her that she would make a great queen, so if you were having that imposter syndrome, don't you worry. He's here to give you affirmations.
You are more than qualified to be my wife or queen.
Yeah, and she's like delusional from wanting an orgasm, right? Like he's edging her. And yeah.
And she got stood up earlier, so she's been primed for a while.
And she's like low-key trying to tell him through her haze of horniness that like she doesn't want to be queen. And he's like, okay, well, you know where to find me if you change your mind. Just like drops her, cuts her off, like gets her shoes, gets her purse, even gets her a dress fashioned from corn fibers, which is surprisingly comfortable, and then rushes her out the door.
All right, thanks, bye.
The he's end.
Like, he's like, a novella. Right. The end.
So what are you going to give it for smut? Because I thought there could be more.
And that's on consent, okay? But I think the point is like he immediately stops and is like, all right. And she never got off during that process.
Yeah.
So she goes home, cleans up, rests up. Let's not forget, she like barely had any sleep that night. She was hanging from that corn cross.
Was kidnapped.
And she goes to pour some cereal out like 2 days later. And she gets the box out and it says, corned puffs. They'll fill you up. And immediately her mind's like, I wish I was filled up.
She's like, oh no, I'm so horny for corn, daddy.
I want you to know the next like 10 pages is her just like contemplating needing the corn daddy
and trying to be filled up with corn puffs.
Yeah. And needing to figure out how she's going to supplement this need. Right. So she decides to take things into her own hands and heads to the farmer's market. Okay. She's looking through the produce. Nope. You know exactly where this is going.
I do. Continue.
She goes through all the produce. She's looking at different produce and she finally lands on some sweet corn. And the whole time she keeps on being like, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to do this? And then she's like, who's to judge me? No one can judge me.
Hope is going to judge you. And she'll explain why when we're done.
No, you're not. You're not, because she considers the number one thing you worry about when we talk about things like this. Okay. Hold on. You hold that thought. Okay. So she goes to the farmer's market and she finds some sweet corn. She takes it home. She shucks it and she throws it into boiling water because she's not going to get vaginal worms or a yeast infection. Okay. Not today. Okay. And hope's number one concern every time we have these random objects is that they're not clean enough or whatever it is that you're going to end up with some vaginal infection.
I'm gonna let you finish this scene and then I'm gonna explain the thing I have in my head right now.
Okay. So by the way, this whole time she's weighing like the pros and cons of becoming his queen. She's like,
have to buy corn at the farmer's market to probably fuck later.
You know what? Support local. She could have gone to at least it's local, it's probably organic. And if that's not the healthiest and most economically productive way to do it, then I don't know what you want, Hope. Now you tell me what you're upset about.
They make dildos that are shaped like corn cobs. Hey, you don't have to do any of this.
Hey, guess what, Hope? She can go to the farmer's market this afternoon. Amazon would take overnight to get to her.
Use your fingers, wait till tomorrow, and you don't have to fuck literal corn and boil it. For those of us who have shucked corn, there's so many little silk fibers on that thing. And they are. For a fact, you did not get them all off.
But she boiled it, which takes more of them off.
But not all of them. And you know that.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's also the mentality of it, right? She wants him, the corn daddy.
Obviously.
But she can't have him right now. So she's trying to come up with an alternative.
For the rest of you out there, Liz in the story is long gone. For the rest of you, if you face this dilemma and you're encountered by a corn daddy and he kidnaps you and he takes you into his basement and ties you up to the corn cross and then tries to be like, be my queen. And you have this whole thing and you're like, no, and he drops you off and then you go home and then you see cereal and you get horny. Do not buy corn to fuck. You can and should instead buy dildos shaped like corn, which exist and don't have little silk fibers on them. Just do that instead. Everyone,
you know who's not judgmental in this podcast? It's me. I say do whatever you want. If you're a consenting adult, if the corn's a consenting sapling or whatever you call it, I say you just do whatever you want. And just know that you might have to go to the ER, but that's on your medical plan and your insurance. Okay.
I suppose what I really want to say is just know that you have the option to do this a definitively better way.
I mean, maybe that's
what
true,
you choose to do is different, but there is a better way.
I don't know if you know this, but I am a certified hater and a certified lover. So I will fully get on a boat and I will not get off the boat. So I am on Helena's boat right now for Team Liz. You know, Team Liz can do no wrong in my mind at this point. Okay. So I'm going to keep going with our story now that Please. We've got off our soapboxes. Okay. So yes, she has sex with the corn. And I'm going to give you this exact quote. Quote, the kernels were squishy, but firm enough to be noticeable one by one as the bumps raked over her. End quote. And
oh no.
I just imagine one of those little kernels like rupturing inside of her and just spraying that juice.
The other thing, I won't get into it, but if you've boiled it and it's sweet corn, it's now edible consistency, and that's so much worse.
No, it is. Okay, so I will also let you know that there are no shortages of absolute corny references, and I will tell you that she uses the term corngasm. Mm-hmm.
Good. That's I'm happy about that, because if you've had the opportunity to say corngasm and you choose to say corn orgasm instead, you're wrong. And it's also I would do is say
and
corngasm.
She does not reach completion with the cob of corn. Okay, so now Liz says that she is entitled to legal compensation.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because she has not gotten off. So she goes back to the corn maze and weirdly waits for it to close in order to go inside.
Okay.
She is like running through the corn maze, trying to get his attention, and he doesn't come out. So she flashes the corn maze as you do.
I assume the corn can see.
Again, I'm trying to understand how he sees everything. And like how he is one with the corn maze.
Well, I thought it was just based on humidity changes. So reasonably, she needs to get sweaty or horny.
So that's what she says too.
It is funny if it's that the corn can also see.
But that's what she says too. She's like, he should be able to smell me or see or feel me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she's like, it's almost like he's trying to get her to act out. Like he's also like, so she's hearing also noises. In the
sure,
so she's like now playing a game of cat and mouse with him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It would be very funny if it was just people lost in the maze.
Yeah, and they were like, "Why is this girl flashing us?"
Oh no! Also, you know you're not supposed to touch the corn, right? You better be careful.
Well, she licks a piece of corn.
Well, I figured she'd have to touch the corn again. That seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah. So then she yells, "Quote: You wouldn't believe what I did with a corn cob this afternoon." As another way to antagonize him.
Country and girls make do.
Like I said, hearing noises, and she's running until she falls into like this puddle of mud. And he's like, you're making quite a spectacle of yourself. And I now want you to picture the fact that she is going to be covered in mud for the rest of this interaction.
Okay, good to know. I will note that.
So she is all muddy on her knees.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, stop playing games. And she's taking him out, and he says, quote, go on, shuck me. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else would he say? You know?
Yeah, no. And yes, his penis is a corn cob.
Obviously.
Yeah.
If it had been anything else, I would have rioted.
Do you want to know what he tastes like?
Corn?
No, I'm going to give you a second guess.
A corn cob that doesn't just taste like corn. Butter?
He sure does.
That's bullshit. Helena, I love you so much. It's crazy that his penis would taste like butter.
Why? Give it. Why do you want to take that away from Helena?
Because it just feels, I mean, I guess I don't know what the, there's not really a sexier option. It's just a practicality thing.
And I have a lot
of questions.
I want you to know it is all over. Like, I mean, it gets everywhere. I mean, it is an oily mess.
Oh, butter gets everywhere.
My skin would break out so bad.
So many pimples after this interaction.
Like, not only the yeast infection that's about to come, for lack of a better term, but it's just, impossible for my skin to be able to be susceptible to that much butter.
No, it's not supposed to.
No. So she also says to him once he finishes, I shouldn't say he hasn't finished yet because he hasn't, but once she goes down on him, she says, quote, "I want you to fucking baste me." Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So we're like now kind of entering Thanksgiving era.
So it's very fall, but now it's very late fall.
Yeah, now we're going for like maybe early November.
She wants to get stuffed. This is a completely different holiday.
Yeah, now we're entering Thanksgiving time. A lot to be thankful for. So he sprays his butter all over her. Mm-hmm. They are now rolling around in the mud. She is begging for it, but he insists on going back to his den underground. I'm not really sure why we needed to.
Sorry, I just want to clarify. So now that he's sprayed butter, is that cum?
The butter is among the cum. Yes.
Okay. I just don't know if butter is cum or if butter is pre-cum.
It's pretty much butter. Just consider it all butter.
It's all butter. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
So I will also let you know that there was a scene where he licked mud off her foot, but I don't think that's
weird. He's corn.
No. There's a lot of mud going on. Okay. So they go underground, and it isn't until she finally says she will be his queen that he finally has sex with her, which is a very short, like, again, I feel like this whole book was foreplay. Yeah. And then like they finally get to the main event. Okay. And they have sex and she finally has an orgasm after 60 pages.
Corngasm. Thank you.
We are now at the end of our book. What do you think our epilogue is going to be?
She's going to have so many corn. She's the queen. Of course she has to be the queen.
Yeah.
Of the corn. And I hope that they're having a lot of corn cuties together if that's what they want.
There are two parts to the epilogue. The first part is a farmhand who comes and finds her purse among the corn stalks and puts it in the lost and found. But after a while, people realize that she's gone missing, and there are people putting up missing posters for her. And then there are search parties among the corn stalks.
Wow.
The second part of the epilogue is below ground. She can hear them all searching for her up there. And she's just curled up with her corn daddy.
She's cracking up as they're trying to find her desperately.
Yeah. And meanwhile, she's underground with her man, and she's very pregnant with, quote, little swimming cornlets.
Little swimming cornlets. Huh.
And that is our book.
Swimming. I guess I've never really thought of a baby that you're growing inside swimming, but I suppose that's not untrue.
I don't know. I can't tell you. This book was so great in my mind. I don't know why anyone would give it anything less than what it deserves. Mm. Diversity, I don't even feel like there's much to discuss. We don't really get a physical description. You will see the cover, which shows a white woman to my knowledge. But otherwise, I don't really think we can discuss diversity at all for this one, other than the diverse sexual interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like I said in the trigger warnings, a lot of options.
So many.
Yeah. Plot. What are you going to give our plot?
1,000,000 out of 5. 1,000,000,000 out of 5.
So a 5 out of 5.
5,000,000,000 out of 5.
Okay. So you're giving it a 5. I'm going to give it a 4 just because really it didn't have much of a plot other than she was going to, she needed an orgasm. But honestly, this author set me up to know that there was no plot. Like,
yeah,
he literally was like, hey, I know you guys might think that this is like a traditional book. It's not. I'm giving you porn on a page with corn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Porn.
Smut. I'm giving a 5 out of 5. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree.
I can't recommend enough. I also have the cover there for you. Could you please give it a look and tell our audience what they're looking at?
I can't wait to see interesting. Okay, so the cover for Corn Daddy has Helena Woodcock in creepy red letters all the time. And then it says, esteemed short, which is hilarious because corn. Mm-hmm. And this is Corn Daddy. And honestly, it's sort of like a ranchy Western kind of a font.
Yeah, I kind of like the font. I'm not going to lie.
And the image is like a very orange, I'm going to guess, sunset.
Yeah.
And you can see like the tops of corn in a cornfield. And then there's a very lovely woman in like panties and like a lacy kind of bralette cami situation, just kind of looking over her shoulder off to the side. And then the best part is that at the very bottom, also in red letters, it says, he's got the juice.
Yeah. I was going to give this a 4 and I'm going to give it a 5 because the more I look at it, the more I can't look away.
I'm going to give it a 5 and the only thing that would make it better is to insert my drawing of Corn Daddy into it.
That is so true.
And it couldn't have happened because I just created it. So,
ma'am, I don't want to say that I can speak in memory of the last over a year, but you just gave it 100%.
Of course, because what do you mean? He's got the juice.
I gave it 100%. I gave it 93% because I took a point down for plot. But I am with you. This was an impeccable book.
Oh my God.
What are your say smut moments?
Do not, I repeat, do not fuck actual corn. Please get a corn-shaped dildo instead. Do it. I don't care how desperately horny you are. It is worth the wait. It's not worth the infections and all kinds of stuff that I imagine will happen to your body if you insert actual corn in it. Most especially, do not boil sweet corn and then try and have sex with it. It's going to be all smooshy. That's crazy.
Look, I took the trigger warning and author note at the beginning of this book very seriously.
Don't do it. I agree.
You shouldn't do any of this, but I think it was incredible. I think the thought process behind boiling the corn and the butter penis, everything. This was really a work of art from start to finish. And I really think finishing with like a missing persons case because she's gone underground to be the queen is iconic.
I do appreciate that like little snippet of practicality, which is that sometimes we'll read a novella and for convenience, the like main character doesn't really have family or friends or
yeah,
we'll kind of throw to the side, like, I don't really speak with my people. I don't really have friends around. And I like that in this one it's like, no, this was just a regular person and people did notice she was missing and they were concerned about it and did try and find her.
And I think it gives me flashbacks to the alien mannequin book because she just like runs away and is like his reproductive organ for a while. But I will say the other thing that I appreciate was that the laundry list of trigger warnings was frightening, but when you got into it, it wasn't as dark as I thought it was going to be. I thought it's going to be a hell of a lot darker. So,
no. Yeah,
look,
me too.
I had a good fucking time.
He has the juice, you guys.
He has the juice. So that is our book. You can find us if you so choose on TikTok and Instagram at @saysmutpodcast. Like I said, we're doing that giveaway. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. So send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a rating.
Yeah.
On the podcast platform of your choosing. Hit subscribe if you feel like.
Why not?
You know, if the corn daddy juice gets you, I'm so hopeful that it does. And you can drink the juice and her face is just crumbling as I'm saying this.
Well, the unfortunate thing is I keep thinking of that thing that kids said about corn and the subsequent song. And it's not really appropriate for this.
No. Oh, don't bring that into it. But we want you to stay smutty and juicy.
And don't touch the corn. It's the first rule of
corn. Don't touch the corn.
Don't touch it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.